edition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park High Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me tonight, 3 months ago, David Harris went for a bone marrow transplant, and we are happy to say that he is back on the radio program tonight, and we're excited to have David with us tonight. And I'm going to let him tell you about a little bit of news here in just a moment. But we're thankful that you're with us tonight, and we are listening to the HPR Network being aired out of KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 out of Hereford, Texas. Also airing on KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma, as well as internet radio on KnowTheTruthRadio.org. We want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show, and the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And we also want to remind you that you can also chime in to the discussion tonight on the chat box. If you're listening to the radio and would like to get on the internet chat box, you can do that. Or if you're listening by the internet, you can get involved in the chat box and be involved in the discussion. Ask questions, comments, comment back and forth, but we would prefer you to call in. The show is always much better when you're here and calling in. Again, the number is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We want to remind you of our additional sponsors. Not only is this program being sponsored by the Park High Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, but also the Hillcrest Church of Christ here in Stephenville, Texas, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the Fourth and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas. Now, our motto is, and has always been, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. Before I turn over to David, I want to mention two things. First of all, we want to mention Denny Wilson. Y'all know Denny Wilson. He has filled in many times for us on the radio program. He is currently in the Hendricks Hospital in Abilene. He had a heart attack. They put a stent in. His lower main artery going through his heart was blocked. They put a stent in, and hopefully he'll be back on his feet real soon. Once again, you cannot keep a good man down.
Amen.
We also want to remember, I'd like for y'all to remember, on August the 7th to the 9th, we're having a vacation Bible school in Hamilton, Texas. And the reason I mention this is because we're having something very unique during that period of time. We are having a discussion about the temple, and we have a life-size replica of the tabernacle and all of its instruments, the Holy of Holies, the Holy Place, the Altar of Incense, and all of those things are found there. And we want to encourage you to come to the Park High Church of Christ August 7 through 9, beginning at 7 p.m. Now, David, it's been a long time, but we're glad you're back.
Well, it is. It's certainly I'm glad to be back. I'm thrilled. I got to come home, and earlier this week, along about Thursday, I preached the sermon yesterday morning, yesterday evening, and it was a glorious thing for me to be able to do that. And I want to thank everyone for their prayers and their encouragement and the benevolence that has been shown us. And my wife and I want everyone to know that we certainly appreciate everyone that has been a part of this, and everyone that has been a part with their prayers has been a part with this. And just today, about 3:30 p.m., Tom and I were sitting in my office, and I got an email from the UT Southwestern Medical Center, and I read the email, and it was the result of the last two tests that we were awaiting for final confirmation as to what my condition is now. I wasn't smart enough to read what it said, so I called my doctor, and she called me back, And she said that everything is negative, and that means that you're in total remission. And so after 100 days in the bone marrow transplant, I have been declared in total remission right now of my lymphoma, and I want to praise God for that.
Great. Great. You can't have any better news than that.
No, that's as good as I could have gotten today. The only thing to make it better is if old Denny will just jump up out of that bed and come on back.
Well, I think he's going to be on his way soon. So we're thankful that you're back. You know, tonight we're talking about a very important issue, and we're going to discuss tonight what has radical homosexuality done to the home and what has it done to the United States of America. You know, I think sometimes, David, people get a little bit of tired talking about issues like this, don't they?
Yeah, they do, and they get tired of talking about it because no one wants to do anything about it. And they just hear all of the things that the radical homosexual agenda is trying to push upon our society and doing it through the popularity of Hollywood and through the popularity of some of the people in our society. As you mentioned, you looked up some statistics not too long ago, and 77% of the United States of America are in support of the homosexual agenda in the United States of America. 77%. What that means is that 77% of our society do not know what the righteousness of God is all about, Tom.
Exactly, and I think a lot of them do not realize exactly what this radical agenda is that homosexuality have. They think it's all about love.
Mm-hmm.
and about being long-suffering. And we see that's exactly what the homosexuals want us to do, is mm-hmm. to back off and do nothing. They keep pushing. They keep striving for what they want. They're hoping we will get tired of it and just leave it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, they're going to get their way. And as we see by the statistics, what they're hoping for is coming true, sadly.
Absolutely, it is. And so what we're going to do is answer the question. We're asking the question, what has radical homosexuality done to the home? What has radical homosexuality done to this United States of America? And Tom, it is apparent that this has mainly taken place in the last 20 or 30 years, the radicalization of the homosexuality here and the homosexual agenda. Used to, it wasn't this way. They're trying to push their will on the entire population of the United States of America, and in the process, they are trying to destroy the home. But as the home goes, so will go the nation.
Exactly.
And we've got proof of that, and the proof is in God's Word.
Exactly. Now remember, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion, if you have a question or a comment, we encourage you to call us at 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight we're talking about what has radical homosexuality done to our homes and to the United States of America. And we need to realize, as David just mentioned, as the home goes, so the nation goes. And we have proof of that in the book of Proverbs, don't we?
Absolutely. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, and for those of you who have your Bibles handy, we would encourage you to look this up and really look at the passage. You may even have it memorized, but let's just look at what the passage says. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, when we look at that word righteousness, we're talking about that which is right according to God. That is what exalts a nation. It's not what is right according to man, but what is right according to God. And then he says, sin is a reproach to any people. Now, when we look back at the founding of this country and the founding fathers, they used a document called the Constitution of the United States of America, and Tom, that entire document was based upon God's Word and God's righteousness, the morality and the lack of wickedness and the abundance of benevolence that would be available here in this United States of America if we would just adhere to the righteousness of God. And that's what is going to exalt this nation 200 years ago.
Exactly. And the reason that 77% of the United States of America are in support of the homosexual agenda is because they do not know the righteousness of God. And we realize that this righteousness of God, when we understand what it's all about, is going to exalt the nation. It's going to raise it up to honor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, sadly, that much of the honor of America is being lost because people do not understand that righteousness is that which exalts us. The Bible tells us a little bit, though, doesn't it, David, about exactly what is this righteousness that exalts a nation?
No doubt. And again, we're going to have to get back to the Word of God. We look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, and Paul talks about the gospel, the good news that was given us, that which is written in your New Testament here. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And then in verse number 17, he says, for therein, wherein? In the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. It is revealed to us in God's Word. That's where we go to find out what is right according to God, not according to man. And the problem with the 77% is man has accepted things that are unrighteous, changed the name of it, and called it righteous.
Exactly. Or it could be the case that people simply do not know what God's righteousness is. They've never searched for it. They have no idea. All they know about God or homosexuality or anything is what somebody else is telling them. But when they listen to 77% of the world,
mm-hmm,
as to what is right and what homosexuals should be, well, they're going to be hearing the wrong thing. Again, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. Now, remember the number to call tonight. We'd like for you to call and give us a question or comment. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking about what radical homosexuality has done to the home and to the United States of America. And we understand, because the Bible says so, that as the home goes, so goes the nation. Solomon said, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, David, again, what is that righteousness that exalts a nation?
It's the Word of God. And in the Psalms, in the 119th Psalm, in the 172nd verse, we are told there, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Every one of the commandments of God, every one of the precepts of God, they are all righteousness. There is not an unrighteous commandment that God has given. He tells us what is right according to Him, and He expects us to live that. And it doesn't make any difference if you're in the United States of America or you're on an island somewhere out in the South Pacific. If it is a nation, and it takes four things to make a nation, it takes a people, it takes a leader, it takes a law, and it takes a land. Once you've got that, you've got a nation. But that nation cannot be exalted without the righteousness of God.
Exactly.
I don't care where it's located.
Exactly. And so when we think about this issue, as the home goes, so goes a nation. And then Solomon says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And understanding the fact that the righteousness of God is revealed in the Bible, and that all of His commandments are righteousness. Well, how does then righteousness exalt in it? We know that righteousness comes from the Word of God.
Right.
How then does righteousness exalt a nation?
Well, when an individual takes God's Word, the righteousness of God, and he makes that application to his life, then that individual becomes a righteous person. And there's nothing wrong with that terminology, by the way. That's not a curse word. That is a complimentary word to an individual who has the wherewithal.
Matter of fact, it is biblical.
Biblical, scriptural. Absolutely.
1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, my little children, let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, that is God,
right,
is righteousness. And so If we want to have a righteous nation, if we want to do righteousness to exalt a nation, we have to be righteous.
Exactly.
And the only way we can be righteous is to what?
Follow the Word.
Follow the Word of God.
Now, it's interesting that we break this thing down because it happens one person at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And the culmination of all of these people with a like mind of the righteousness of God, that is what is exalting a nation. It's that mindset that we've got to do what is right according to God, not what is right according to men. And when we look at this righteousness, we see that people in the world are trying to make God's righteousness something else that it's not.
Exactly.
And earlier before the program, as we were looking at some passages of Scripture, we came up with about four passages of Scripture here that has a warning right before it talks about the righteousness or the unrighteousness of man.
Exactly.
And the first of those warnings is going to come in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, where it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And then he says, "Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor homosexuals, none of these shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Be not deceived." Now, why would he say something like that, Tom?
Well, you know, the homosexuals of our day,
mm-hmm.
and those promoters are trying to deceive us into thinking that homosexuality is not as bad as they think it is. And they've done that, and we'll talk more about this later on, but they've done that a lot by the changing of terms. You know,
mm-hmm.
the Bible talks about homosexuality. Well, they've changed the word to gay or alternative lifestyle and things of that nature, trying to make it seem not as bad as it really is. And there are others who are trying to say, well, the Bible does not condemn it. As a matter of fact, people have gone so far in trying to do this, they've come out with a new translation of the Bible called the Queen James Bible, where in that Bible it takes out every mention of homosexuality in a negative way. They have taken it out of the Bible. That's deception. He says, don't be deceived. Fornicators, idolaters, homosexuals are not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But you know something in the word of encouragement, though, David? He says in the latter part of that text, and such were some of you.
And then he talks about their change.
Mm-hmm.
The change that they made in their life. It is possible for anybody to change. All we've got to do is have the desire to be righteous like God. Now, there are other places where we are told not to be deceived. And one of them is that passage that you read there just a moment ago in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, "Let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous." Well, the world is trying to deceive people into believing that righteousness has no place in the United States of America. There's another place in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. This says, "Be not deceived. Evil companionship corrupts good morals." Now, why in the world would he say that? Because the homosexual radical agenda and those 77% who are in favor of the homosexual radical agenda are saying that it doesn't make any difference who you hang out with. It doesn't make any difference what you do. It's not going to bother your moral character or the righteousness that you need to have in your life.
You know, I'm thinking a little bit about that 77% that are okay with the agenda of the homosexuals, and I'm wondering if that 77% includes those who just don't want to get involved.
It's possible.
You know, and if it doesn't include that, how scary is that?
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
we have 77% in favor of this, and then we have, let's just throw out a number, 15% who just don't want to get involved. That's not many people left trying to fight that which God says is unrighteous.
Well, and there's one more facet that we need to look at here, too, on that 77%. In the society in which we live today, if you do not accept homosexuality as something that is normal and acceptable, then you are considered a bigot. You are considered not politically correct, and you are considered to be some kind of a religious fanatic out there that absolutely has no sense of what's going on around him. And so when people are asked point blank, do you agree with the homosexual agenda? They may be saying yes because they don't want to be called a bigot.
Exactly. And, you know, it's getting to a point, David, where if a person preaches or condemns or teaches against homosexuality, then they are called or said to be involved in a hate crime.
Right. Right. And if it is that they can prove that someone does something because you preached a sermon against homosexuality and they go out and they do something against someone, then they can hold the preacher responsible for enticing that individual to do something like that. Now, what I would like to do, Tom,
I've got to answer something here that before we get too far away from it. Marty on the chat box says, ask a question, what scripture are you referring to in reference to Solomon when he says righteousness exalts a nation? That passage is found in Proverbs chapter 14 in verse 34.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 14 and verse 34. And the translation that is pro-homosexuality that we mentioned is called the Queen James Bible, which is kind of a strange name, the Queen James Bible. She missed part of the call because her mom called or something, but we want to be sure she has that information. And so this is a really important issue because how it affects our nation and how it affects our family.
Right, and like we were saying just a moment ago, as the home goes, so goes the nation. Now, what we're looking at is the sin that is a reproach to this nation. Now the sin is a transgression of God's law. That is the definition of sin in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. But if you look at it very closely, sin is a transgression of the righteousness of God because all of God's commandments are righteousness. And so transgression and that reproach that he's talking about, it is a rebuke. It is a rebuke of God's righteousness, and it is a transgression of his law. And when we see that sin is a reproach to any people, it is that people who refuse to look at the righteousness of God and make the application to their lives. Now, before we go any further, what I would like to do is, if anyone is listening out there that is part of that 77% that approve of this homosexual agenda, or if you are a homosexual and you'd like to give us your point of view, we would encourage you to call in here and talk to us about it. And let us hear your point of view. We're wide open to your point of view. But we refuse to back off of what is absolute, what is given to us as righteousness, and the righteousness is given to us in the Word of God. And so we would encourage you to call in.
Welcome to the Harris Moore Expedition of the Bible. Well, we got cut off. We had somebody calling in from Austin. Be sure and try again if you would like to call in. You know, when you think about this whole issue, David, about the righteousness of God, sin is a reproach to any people, and how that when we're involved in unrighteousness, we're really being deceived by those people who are promoting this very issue, and then connecting it to... Hold on, we got another call, David. Let me get this thing here coming in.
Hello, Thomas Moore. You have a caller.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. Give us your name and comment, please. Well, somebody keeps cutting it off. Anyway, with the this whole issue of homosexuality and exalting a nation and sin being reproached to any people, the passage that really comes to my mind, it really connects all of these things together, is Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Now, when we put that in connection with being deceived, and God saying righteousness exalts a nation, and then he says that sin is a reproach to any people, and sin is a transgression to the law, of the law, what do we expect to receive of people, of things, when we aren't doing the things God says we ought to be doing?
Hello, Thomas Moore. You have a caller. To accept the call, press 1.
Hello, are you there?
Evidently not.
Well, I can hear him talking in the background,
yeah.
So I'm not sure what's going on. But anyway, that was the third time.
Right.
Okay.
But the as you were saying, God will not be mocked here. Man may be able to deceive man, but he is not going to mock God. And God has the righteousness put forward for us in the revelation of the Word. And all we have to do is apply the Word to gain the righteousness. And God is not going to be mocked by this. You may be able to call it all kinds of different things here for men, and you may be able to describe it as some kind of a love fest over here, and that everybody is due this love of their life that they want, and they can explain it any way they want to, but God will not be mocked here.
Exactly. And so it's important for us to realize that we are going to have to, as a nation, if we want to be exalted, if we want to be raised to honor, we're going to have to get back to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to do things God's way because, in Habakkuk chapter 1, in verse 13, it says, "Thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue, when the wicked devourest the man that is more righteous than he?" Habakkuk's asking a question here. He understands that God is righteous. And he's wondering, God, why are you putting up with these people? I know you're righteous. Why are you putting up with these people? I'm kind of wondering the same thing, David, about today.
It's a question that will probably be answered in the near future. It's not something that we're going to have to wait long to see, I don't think. We might ask this question, Dom. Is God exalting our nation today? If he is helping us exalt this nation today, to what degree is it going on? In order to answer the question, we're going to have to talk about the home here for just a moment.
Exactly.
When it says there that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, we've already established the fact that the righteousness has to take place one person at a time. It takes many people to make a nation. And so these individuals and the righteousness that needs to be exalted here has got to come one person at a time.
Exactly.
It's got to come one household at a time. It's got to come one home at a time. And we're living in a society right here with a 50% divorce rate. That doesn't even count the people that never got married that are just common law man and wife living in fornication, waiting on time to pass by so that they can call themselves whatever they want to. But we're looking at something that is abhorrent to God, and it is a total violation of His word, His will, and His description of the home. And I know we're up against a break here, so there's no sense in even starting out what God has to say about the home until we get back on the other side of the break. But what we're going to do when we get back, we're going to answer the question, what does God have to say about the home? And we're going to talk specifically about the home here in the United States of America. Of course, it doesn't make any difference where that home is, whether it's here on the other side of the world in China. It's still going to be a home, and that home is going to be designed by God.
You know, and people have always understood, whether or not they are religious or not, in essence, that a home, a family, is what really makes a nation great.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and people long for family. That's why kids get involved in games.
Yeah.
Because they got to have that family relationship. That's all they've got. Well, when we get away from the family as God has designed it, then we're going to have trouble with our nation. And we see that very thing taking place. And so on the other side of this break, we're going to talk about what a nation really, or what a family, a home, a family really is in the sight of God. You are listening to the HPR Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HBR network or any of its agents.
You're listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ. It's great for me to be back again on the radio program. I want to thank everyone who has filled in for me, and they've done an excellent job. Frank Briscoe, Denny, Terry Jackson, and Denny Wilson, by the way, is in the hospital tonight. He had a heart attack. We want to keep him in our prayers, and there have been others that have helped fill in, and we want to thank all of these people for filling in and doing such a marvelous job. Tonight we're tackling an issue that a lot of people just don't want to talk about, and we're asking and answering the question tonight, what has radical homosexuality done to the home, and what has radical homosexuality done to the United States of America? And we're covering this, and because the radical homosexual agenda is pushing, they're pushing public opinion, they're pushing laws, they're pushing the general public support to their way of thinking, and as we have mentioned in the first segment here, Tom, over 77% of the United States of America are in support of the homosexual agenda in the United States of America, and that's absolutely frightening, 77%. And we talked earlier in the first segment of this program, as the home goes, so goes the nation. And we have evidence and proof of this when the Word of God says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people, and that righteousness comes one person at a time, one home at a time, and then the accumulation of all of the homes, and that is the righteousness of a nation. But the sin that is a reproach of this nation has to do with the unrighteous, immoral wickedness that is prevailing in this country today because of a lack of knowledge of God's Word, God's righteousness. And so we got to the point where we asked this question. Is God exalting our nation today? What do you think? If you've got a thought about this, please give us a call. The number is
1-855.
There it is, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We want you to try to call in. And for those who have tried to call in and didn't get it, try it again. Please try it again because we would love to hear your comments. Now, we're asking the question now, is God exalting our nation? In order to answer the question, Tom, we've got to ask this question. What does God have to say about the home?
Exactly.
We have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. Now, what does God have to say about the home, and where does it start?
You know, that's an important question, especially in light of our preface in this whole situation, as the home goes, so goes the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does God say about the home? Well, way back in Genesis, during the beginning of time, in the establishment of the home, God had this to say. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, it says, "Now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now, thinking about that, David, what God has provided for Adam.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting when we back up to verse 18,
mm-hmm.
we see why he gave Adam what he did. In verse 18, it says, "And Jehovah God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him." Some translations say a help that is suitable to him. And so what did he give him when he gave him a help meet or a help suitable to him? What did God give Adam?
He gave him a woman.
That's interesting.
It is a man for a woman and a woman for a man. And he didn't make a mistake here.
Mm-hmm.
He did this on purpose. Because this is the person, as you said, that is suitable for the man.
Mm-hmm.
It is the woman. And so when we look here, it says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." This is where the home starts. The child is brought up in the home of his father and his mother, is reared by his father and his mother. The child leaves. The woman finds the man finds the woman, and they leave their home in which they were reared, and they make a home of their own according to the righteousness of God.
Exactly.
And this concept and this principle carries throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament. As a matter of fact, when we get to Matthew chapter 19, we have people that are trying to tempt Jesus and to trick him into coming up with something that would be unscriptural, that would be able to be held against him. And they are asking him about divorce. And the divorce has an awful lot to do with what society has gotten itself into. And
exactly.
It's nothing new. It's been going on for a long time.
You know, before we get really heavy into that, I want to back up one more thing I just thought of in Genesis chapter 1. When God created man,
mm-hmm.
it's interesting to me that one of the purposes for man, in verse 28, it says, "And God blessed them and said unto them," he had just created man,
mm-hmm.
he says, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth."
Right.
I don't know if anybody knows anything about the birds and the bees, but two men cannot replenish the earth. Two women cannot replenish the earth. It takes a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
God had this in mind for the home from the very beginning of time. That's why Eve was a help suitable, a help meet, a help comparable to him, so that, first of all, that they might be able to replenish the earth. Second of all, because God says that's just the way it ought to be.
Right. And the companionship that exists there
mm-hmm.
is something that God has designed. The home is something that God has designed. Now, we can take this all the way through to the coming of Jesus Christ. We can take it from 4,000 B.C. all the way up here to the first century in Jesus the Christ. And in chapter 19, in verse number 3, it says there that the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And listen to the answer. He answered and said unto them, "Have you not read?" What's he talking about? He's talking about those things that were written aforetime. Genesis chapter 2, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Here we go again. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. He created man, he created woman, he created male, he created female, and they are one for the other. And this is a concept that runs throughout the entire Bible. Jesus said, I'm going to point you right back there to creation when God put the home together. Now, this is how important it is. And in order to understand, is God exalting this nation, we've got to understand, what is the home according to God?
Again, you have heard what men have had to say. Let's listen to what the Bible has to say. Moses talked about what the home is. God instituted the home. He instituted marriage, the relationship between man and husband. He created the man and the woman who were suitable for one another in that family relationship. Jesus now also alludes to the very same thing Moses talked about in what a home really is, consisting of a man and a woman. Again, that's what the Bible has to say. A man and a woman making up a family, a home. And the Apostle Paul, doesn't he, David, also alludes to this very issue at hand.
Sure he does. And Ephesians chapter 5, have you got that pulled up there?
Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. It says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I speak in regard to Christ and of the church. A man shall leave his father and marry a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like we've heard that somewhere before in the Bible.
Well, it's a reoccurring theme from the beginning to the very end. And this is God's design for the home. It is a man and a woman. They are to be married. They are to be married for life. Now, when we get away from that, we get away from the righteousness of God, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get back down to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and a church that was having all kinds of problems in the world because they allowed the world to get into the church, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 that there he says, do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. And then he goes on with a litany of unrighteous sins, including homosexuality, that will keep you out of heaven. But then he offers a remedy.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but such were some of you. But you have been washed. You have been sanctified. You changed your ways, and God accepted you once again.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have the home. Even though we might stray away from the home, we've got the opportunity to come back and put it back together if there is that possibility still there for us.
So, is God exalting our nation? Well, we have to answer the question, are we doing what God says we ought to be doing? You know, we've talked about there in Proverbs 14, verse 34, that righteousness exalts a nation. And then we've talked about how really as the home goes, so goes the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And since righteousness, God's word, exalts a nation, and if we want our nation to be going right, we've got to understand what God says the home is.
Right.
Well, God says home, family, marriage consists of a man
and a woman.
And a woman, and it is to be for a lifetime. But David, what is the world saying about the home?
The world's saying that anything can go. Anything can go. And we have the legalization of same-sex marriage. It's been going on here for several years in this United States of America. We looked it up just a moment ago. There are 13 out of our states of the United States of America who have approved and adopted same-sex marriages in their society. Most of them are on the East Coast, and there's one big one over there on the West Coast, and it's not going to take a whole lot of guessing which one that is, but they have approved this same-sex marriage as if they have a right to violate the righteousness of God.
Exactly. Now, if we expect our nation to be exalted, if we expect God to approve of our nation, then don't you think that we ought to be running the affairs and producing homes in such a way that would please God?
No doubt. If righteousness exalts a nation, then we've got to do that which is right according to God, not that which is right according to man. Now, again, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We would love to hear your comments. We would love to hear what you have to say about this. But what we are looking at tonight is that what does God have to say about the home, and what is this radical homosexuality done to the home and to the United States of America?
You know, it's very sad, David, that it seems that most people do not care what God has to say.
Mm-mm.
They don't care what religion has to say. As a matter of fact, our nation and those of the homosexual agenda and their friends are trying to do everything they can to stifle, to put to naught, to quiet the Word of God and anybody who would want to proclaim God's Word by pegging various designations on us or trying to refuse us our rights as American citizens.
No doubt. Now, not only have we got in this United States of America, we have same-sex marriages and the legalization of same-sex marriages. 13 states have adopted this and approved the same-sex marriages. But we also, and this is quite frightening, we have the adoption of children and homosexual marriages today. And this is an outright aberration, if you will, because what we are doing now is we are poisoning the minds of the next generation of children into believing that this is okay, and that everybody is okay with it, and it really doesn't make any difference if the entire body of the United States is okay with it. It would still be wrong with God.
Now, isn't it telling about the family when a person has to adopt to have children? Now, I realize that sometimes a husband and a wife, there is some sterilization involved, but that's not the normal.
No.
But there is not a single homosexual with a homosexual couple who will ever be able to have a child naturally.
No.
It's not going to happen. God instituted that long ago. And for them to have to adopt tells you that that is against the very nature of what the home is all about. And then there was a big to-do here recently about the couple up in the Northeast who I guess maybe was the first couple who was able to adopt a child, and to find out that they're the homosexual's poster parents, if you will, and that the adoption of this child had been involved in abusing this child.
Mm.
You know, it's just horrible.
Yes, it is.
When you get away from God and His Word, where does it all stop?
Well, the end result is that the homosexual agenda is the destruction of the home as God has designed it. The agenda will keep pushing. They will not stop. They will stop at nothing. And the destruction of morality, the destruction of decency, and the destruction of the righteousness that exists in the United States of America is being absolutely destroyed by the radicalization and the homosexual agenda that is being pushed not only in our society and in our communities, but through our laws all the way up to the Supreme Court. Now, there is an illustration here in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, where God's people come to Isaiah. They've been praying to God. But nothing's happening. And so they go to Isaiah and they say that, what's wrong? Is the arm of God shortened that He cannot save, or is His ear deaf that He cannot hear? And Isaiah answers them. He says, the Lord's arm is not shortened that He cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face that He will not hear. You? What's he talking about?
We're talking about a nation who has gone away from God.
Mm-hmm.
They're not following God's righteousness. They're doing things their own way. And as a result, God says, I am not going to bless you. I'm not going to have regard for you. You know, it's sad, Dave, that I think we find ourselves in that same boat today,
mm-hmm.
especially in light of the fact, if this number is true, that 77% of America is okay with the homosexual agenda, either okay with it or promoting it. That tells me that we're on the verge, if not already there, of being a nation that God does not regard because of their unrighteousness.
Well, that leaves less than 25% of the population of the United States of America that is actually believing in the righteousness of God.
That's scary, too.
That is scary. Now, in the time that we have left, I want to mention a few things about this agenda of the radical homosexuals. Tom, and you and I talked about some of this. The homosexual agenda is great about coming up with new terminology. You use terminology that doesn't sound so bad. You know, I mean, the abortionists came up with this first. You know, they call the murder of a child in a womb, they call it an abortion. It just doesn't sound quite as bad. They call it partial birth abortion when you actually take a child head first out and kill him, absolutely murder the child, and then say, well, it's partial birth abortion. And there's just all kinds
of... call the child a fetus instead of a child.
Exactly. So we have gays, the word gay instead of homosexual. We have the alternative lifestyle instead of homosexual. You know, used to, the terminology queer was used. And that has become politically incorrect to say something like queer, but it's more of a fit than anything else that you can put here. They've hijacked the word gay. The word gay means happy. There's no more unhappy bunch of people in the world than a bunch of homosexuals.
Exactly. And so they have, in their agenda, have tried to redefine terms to make it not seem mm-hmm. really as bad as it is.
Sure.
And another thing they've done, David, isn't it, that they have also been labeling their opponents by such names that they don't like in hopes of making them look bad. Say, well, I don't want to be called that, mm-hmm. so I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah.
What are some of the things they call people like?
Bigots.
Uh-huh.
They call them homophobic. They call them hateful. They call them religious fanatics. And I was watching this show the other night called America's Got Talent. And this young man made it a point on three different occasions to let everybody know that he got kicked out of his house by his parents because he was an open homosexual at the age of 17. So they kicked him out of the house, and he made that point before the judges, before he ever even started his singing or whatever it was that he was doing. And when he said that, the entire audience, when he said, my parents kicked me out of the house, the entire audience booed his parents, and they did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
They did the right thing.
You know, it's a sad day when we can be accused of a hate crime simply by stating what the Bible has to say.
Isn't that the truth?
That is part of the agenda of the radical homosexuals. You know, and in this radical agenda that they have, they also solicit support and depend on the media and Hollywood and various universities for their support, and they bring in government protection and things of that nature, and all of this is a part of their agenda to bring about what they want.
Well, you know, there are so many different things that the homosexuals have going for them, and they have really, really pushed in some things that are just unbelievable. If you want a job today, if you go up there and tell them you're a homosexual, they'll nearly give you the job immediately because they're afraid that they're going to get sued for not giving you the job because they are discriminating discriminating against you because you said that you were a homosexual.
Exactly. You know, and Carol says here on the chat box that they, the homosexual community, have also hijacked the symbol of God's promise by way of the rainbow.
I hadn't thought about that.
That is their symbol. You know, and so we've got to realize that there is a powerful agenda that they're involved in. And you know, they even use the IRS to remove tax exemption from ministries that don't conform or declare that they the religious organization does not like what they're doing and oppose it. They can be involved in hate, said to be hate, involved in hate crimes or hate speeches and lose what they've been provided.
Mm-hmm.
There's an agenda here pushing hard. And people wonder, why are we pushing hard? Well, it's because they're pushing hard. And it's already at 77%.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to stop it. We've got to do something to halt the erosion of
now,
our nation.
Before we run out of time, and we're just about out, there are a couple of things that I want to bring out just to show the people here that we're not just shooting from the hip. This is a radical agenda that these individuals have, and one of the radicalizations here that we have is called the North American Man Boy Love Association. And get a hold of that. It is a pedophile advocacy organization that works to abolish age of consent laws, criminalizing adult sexual involvement with minors, and for the release of all men who have been jailed for sexual contact with minors that did not involve coercion, and it has been defended by the ACLU.
That's Reverend, so-called Reverend, what's his name?
I don't even know. I refuse.
Jesse Jackson and those guys, they are in the ACLU,
mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. You know, and there you see the 77%.
Yeah.
How horrible. You know, and there's even going on in Colorado right now that they're trying to, the pedophiles are trying to get the same rights that homosexuals are now getting. So does that mean that a man ought to be able to marry a little girl? Or a man ought to be able to marry a little boy? Or a woman be able to marry a little boy or a little girl? If they're asking for the same equal rights, that's where we're headed if we're not careful.
Well, one more radical thing, and then we're going to have to wind this thing up. I know we need to wind it up
30
now.
30 seconds. You better.
Okay, well, I won't even bring it up then, but the point that we need to make here and the point that needs not be lost in this whole thing is that we've got to get back to the righteousness of God if this nation is ever going to be exalted again the way that it once was. This happens one soul at a time. This happens one family at a time. This happens one home at a time, one community at a time, one little city at a time, and one great nation and state at a time. But it's got to happen. We've got to get back to the righteousness of God, and we can't do it by being silent when the radical homosexual agenda is pushing these things in ways that we cannot stop. And so I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. We're out of time. We thank you for trying to call in. We thank you for all the web, the chat box, the messages that were given here. God bless America, and God bless you for listening to the radio program tonight.
You have been listening to the HPR Network.